A Woman's View with Amanda Dixon. A look at the news here at home and around the world, all from the perspective of women. Now, Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio. It's such a pleasure this week to welcome to the program, Robin Scribner is here, the co-founder and director of outreach for Tech Moms. How are you, Robin?
I'm great. It is always such a pleasure to talk to you, Amanda.
Thank you for your time. And Dr. Tamara Sheffield joins me, medical director for immunization programs at Intermountain Health. Hello, Dr. Sheffield.
Hello, Amanda. It's so good to talk to you today.
I just feel like I'm sitting down with friends when I get a chance to do this show. So I thank you. Thank you for your time. I have a few different things I want to talk to you about this week. And I guess I want to start with AI, because I am fascinated by this topic, as I know much of the world is, as we start to try and understand its effect on us personally, on our children, and on so many things. But I read this week that Elon Musk predicted that AI will be smarter than the smartest human by next year. My thought when I read that was, isn't AI already smarter than the smartest human? I don't know. Robin, I want to start with you. You work a lot with technology. I know you do too, Dr. Sheffield. But I'll start with you, Robin. What do you think?
Well, it depends on what you mean by smarter, right? Like I will just say personally, I'm no fan of Elon Musk. And so I don't know very much about him, but most of the time when he says stuff, I go, I'm not so sure about that, right? Like I don't love a lot of the ways that he kind of interacts publicly. But I will say, without a doubt, in terms of ability to calculate, ability to, you know, to do so many things, without a doubt, already smarter than the much smartest human, right? But in terms of all the things that essentially make us human, AI will never have any of those. That's what I think. And I do, I work with AI all the time. I'm a late adopter generally, like with all technology, I just want other people to figure it out and do all the bugs and things like that. And I was super scared of AI a year ago when ChatGPT came out and all of a sudden everyone was like this, because my job is to find women great jobs and help them move into tech, I really got scared and was like, what does this mean for the future of all these women that I'm working with everybody that I serve? But I really had to take some close, hard look at the work that I'm doing and my own fears and recognize that the way this is moving, this is one I cannot be a late adopter with. I cannot sit around and wait. And so every woman that I'm working with, all the women that we're working with at Tech Moms, we are embracing AI. We're going to learn how to use it. We're going to learn how to make the most of everything that we're doing. And so that part has to be part of everyone's career. My parents, maybe who are 85, they don't need to worry about AI. Everybody else in the world needs to be aware of AI and know what it means and know how to use it. So in terms of our work lives, we can't ignore it. But at the same time, something that we talk about all the time is that as AI can do more and more things, the things that only humans can do will be even more essential. And that's why I don't feel too scared for the women that I work with, because so much of what we women are so good at are things that computers will never be able to replicate.
Dr. Sheffield, what do you think? I know that AI will affect medicine in particular, but so much of life.
Yeah, well, and actually, having worked at Intermountain Health, they have been one of the early adopters of computer-assisted intelligence in healthcare. And what we look at is, originally we've kind of called it decision support, because it was supporting us humans in making better decisions with more information in front of us. I mean, even back 30 years ago, we were having high success with people with higher survival on ventilators, because if you look at the human mind, and if you're trying to look at many variables about, let's say, a patient, you know, what's happening in terms of their lab results, how their breathing's doing, what their temperature is, what their infection rate, all of these things factored in, the human mind can only look at about 3 to 5 variables. Those who are most intelligent, maybe 7 to 9 independent variables at the same time to make a decision. It's just, there's a limitation in terms of how many you can weigh out. And when you're trying to decide the settings for a ventilator machine that's helping someone breathe, that's about 120 or more variables that you're having to consider when you're deciding which knobs to turn and which things to do. So the ICU teams put together these computer-assisted protocols to say, if this variable happens, then you do this. And at the very beginning, they found that their clinical judgment was only matching with the computers, oh, maybe 50% of the time. But what they would do is they would say, if they differed, they as a group would collectively talk about what they should change it to in the protocol. So finally, they were getting to the point about 90% of the time that their clinical judgment would match with the computer assisted. And they started to get better survival rates by better ventilator management. So yes, there are wonderful tools that can help the unaided human mind, but it's all about what the inputs are. So what people input into this, these things are critical. And if the computer's always deciding what the input is or who programmed the original pathway for that computer, that's where my concerns come in, because there are things besides just when you talk about intelligence, there is emotional intelligence. There's also, as humans, value judgment. And we have something we call shared clinical decision-making, where we consider the values of an individual when they're making a decision. Is their value longevity in life, or is it possibly a shorter life with higher quality when you're making cancer decisions, things like that? And people have different values. Some people really want every single day, and others really want maybe a more limited, fewer days with better quality. And so, or when you're making decisions for a program, some people really their value is autonomy and liberty, where the other individual has community benefit as their higher value. And so whoever's putting that value judgment into the computer protocol may not match with someone else's values. And so we have to really be careful that we are not making conclusions and decisions without putting human values in place and without that human input. And so that's where, you know, it's only as intelligent as the things we're inputting. And I'm hoping that we have great philosopher information that's being input into these things and great minds, rather than just what's the latest thing on Netflix and how, you know, the sensationalized things about how they say humans behave, when truly humans are kinder, gentler, nicer people than what we see many times in media. And I would hope that the values that are being put into our artificial intelligence matches the best of humans, not necessarily the worst of humans.
I have to take a break, but I want to pick it up right there, because I want to extend this conversation to algorithms and my concern about how algorithms are making all of our decisions, or so many of our decisions for us, without us even realizing it. Don't go away. Back in a moment here on A Woman's View on KSL News Radio.